This is Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik, Season 2, Episode 3. Hello, Janet, how are you?
Hey, Joe, I'm good. How are you today?
Doing all right, thanks.
Yeah.
We had an interesting week last week. We had Socrates come forward.
Yeah. Crazy.
He's definitely the oldest person, I think, that we've spoken to.
Yeah, probably. It's so wild, right? Because it's like a few years ago, that none of this was even, right, like in my realm of possibility. And now it's like, oh, yeah, so last week we just talked to Socrates.
Yeah.
It's like right?
No biggie.
No biggie. Yeah.
But he's 2,400 years old. He's older than Myrtle.
Wow. Amazing. You don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. But no, that was great. Very cool. A lot of amazing insight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were speaking earlier and talking about what we're going to talk about today. And you said, wow, there's just so much available. And you didn't know which way it was going to go. So how do you think things are leaning right now?
Yeah, I think that's so true. It just feels like with this sort of open door platform, there's just... for spirit, there is just so much information ready and wanting to be shared right now. So I personally am trying to work with them and with myself to try to kind of hone in a little bit on some specifics so that we can talk about certain things as opposed to like huge, vast concepts and things that might be too much for all of us to kind of take on at this time. So I did feel this morning from my guide Myrtle that this might be a bit more of a conversation elaborating on COVID-19.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a feeling, I mean, again, there's so much wrapped up in it. So many levels of understanding that right. come along with it. Right.
Right.
But I do feel like maybe she or they, I'm not sure who's going to be coming forward today, would like to speak to it a little more.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will allow it.
Oh, how nice of you. All right.
So I think it's important to note that COVID-19 is, well, from our other conversations off of the podcast, COVID-19 is a physical manifestation of... energies. I'll leave it as vague as that.
Okay.
And changes that had to happen in our sort of energetic structure. And it's sort of COVID-19 is steering things in a certain direction. It's not just about the physical, like Myrtle's not going to come and talk about like vaccine theory and this kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. She says, oh, my friend, you might be surprised about what I have to say today. Oh, okay.
I usually am.
Yeah. So of course, Joe, as you start the conversation, basically, or the ball rolling for this conversation, Myrtle is stepping forward and she does indeed have some things she wants to say. And as you were talking, she kept sort of interjecting to me a process of evolution, a part of the planetary humanity's evolution. And as daunting and as trying as that may feel for the souls who are walking the earth at this time, it would all serve you all well indeed to take even just a moment to step back. And she says, not literally step back, but allow your perspective to take a step back, your understanding of the existence itself. Remove yourself slightly from the position or the stance that you are currently standing in and allow yourself or allow it to broaden so that you're not only seeing through your specific lens based on your own individual experience, but you are allowing yourself in your peripheral to catch glimpses of the experience from the perceptions and perspectives and interpretations of others. And not only others, but of the existence itself. In doing so, you will allow yourself a greater sense of ease and comfort in understanding, or a greater understanding of what you commonly refer to as the bigger picture. Okay, she just sort of paused there for a second. Yeah, she was right ready to go, I guess, to jump in. Any comment, or should we just give her the floor again?
I think we all need to do a better job of, you know, putting ourselves in other people's shoes, right? And understanding from their perspective what's going on. I don't know if we're capable of fully understanding it. And I think that's where the phrase, don't try not to judge others, right? Don't judge.
Yeah.
Because we can understand it. We can understand it on a logistical, physical level, but like on an emotional level, I don't know if we can fully understand what other people are experiencing. I don't think so.
Yes. I agree with that 100%. Really, one of the things Spirit talks to me a lot about and has over the last few years is that idea of individuality and uniqueness of journey, and how there are many, many commonalities in the experience, right? We feel things the same. We see things sometimes the same. We experience things like literal circumstances and things that are the same, but that every single person, every single soul walking, Myrtle says, will have a different interpretation. She says, in a lot of cases, what calls us to find that uniformity is a sense of fear, is a sense of discomfort. It's hard to stand confidently alone in your own experience, your own viewpoint, your own interpretation. And so what happens is the ego or the lower self, never heard her say it that way before, the lower self looks for company in order to gain a sense of comfortability or comfortability is the word I heard. Entering into the human experience is something that has been traversed many, many, many times over the last many, many years. However, it is still somewhat of a foreign experience for the souls who choose to do so, who choose to come and to live and exist in the realm of humanity. This doesn't actually feel like Myrtle, I don't think. I feel like we might have somebody else with us right now.
Who is it?
Just give me one. Give me one second to see if I can. It's a female. She says, I walked at the time of Jesus, in the days of Jesus, the biblical era, is what I hear. Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
She feels like a bit of a free spirit. She feels like a little bit younger, her energy, and a little bit more freer, is the best way I can sort of describe it. She says getting there or being there in the human experience is challenging for souls. It takes you out of your comfort zone, referring to you as a soul, she says. It takes your soul out of its comfort zone. And so in doing so, we look to each other during the experience to find those commonalities in order to bond us together, to give us strength, and to give us that sense of it's okay, I'm okay to be here. And she says, and almost even I'm getting it right. So much emphasis has been placed on the idea of living life right, doing what you're supposed to do, living it how it's supposed to be lived. She says, even to the point where there's penalty for you or dire circumstance if you don't. She says, this is one of the issues that causes such fear, to imagine that you would not be invited home, to imagine that you could get it so wrong or fail so miserably or make so many mistakes that you just wouldn't even be allowed to return to where you exist or where you come from or hail from. She says that is a tremendous amount of pressure and fear upon the soul. She says this is the fear that forces each individual to desperately reach out for conformity, to know and trust that they are not indeed doing it wrong, but that they're getting it right. And how to prove that you're getting it right? Sorry, the word I can't quite get. Just give me a second. how to prove that you're doing it right, she said. Validation. Mass numbers, mass support I'm getting. The more who believe in what you believe, the more you can calm down. More assuredness that you are in fact getting it right. The more confident you will be that you will not be left here or go somewhere other than here when you depart, but in fact that you will be welcomed home. This is an intense fear. And it is what creates that level of need to feel justified in one's beliefs. And this is what leads to the combative nature of defending one's experience or opinion. For an opinion is simply a reflection of a personal experience, of an individual's own interpretation, perspective, and their own journey here in this life. But there is such a significant need for it to be accepted and an assuredness that it is not wrong. And that's why you will see and feel the defensiveness, the need to defend one's opinions or ideas or beliefs against another in order to conform them to align with your own beliefs. Because in doing so, ultimately, it creates a greater sense of peace and comfort within your own being. You need them to believe what you believe. Not because you are trying to enlighten them per se, but because you as a soul scared in this human in this human existence are in need of that sense of security. And she just paused. I feel like all tense. I feel like all worked up. Like there's a tenseness through my body and my arms. My arms are really tight and tense right now. Wow.
That was quite the rant.
Yeah, she says impassioned. She says it's not about venting of ills or releasing of ills. It's about desperately trying to reach humanity with greater understanding, with that bigger picture perspective, to step back and see things that you look at as your common everyday experiences with a different lens, because that is where the truth lies. You need new glasses. That's so funny, because I literally just yesterday went and got new glasses. I love it. Talk about synchronicities.
Yeah.
Yeah, she says the answers are all there. The answers are in the human experience. It's just that the way we've chosen to look at things in order to gather information and explore those darker energies and aspects of the existence, they've caused us to view how we live, how we exist through a certain lens or in a certain way. And she says, so the answers, it's not as if they're coming to you for the first time. It's that you're changing your glasses so that you can relook at the world in a new way or the old way in order to uncover the greater truths. And in doing so, this is what will create the greater ease and peace in your journeys in the human existence. The information is not new. What we are sharing with you is known. It is not unknown. It is about remembering it. And the way to remember it is to allow yourself to step back from what is and what was and see it from a different point of view. We all need, you all need, she says, as I'm not walking at this time, a different perspective. And she says, and that takes consciousness. It takes a cognitive effort to be aware that it's a necessity, it's what needs to be done, and to choose to allow it. And then she paused again.
I have a new nickname for Mary Magdalene, Monologue Mary.
Yeah. Because she kind of went on for a while there, huh?
Twice. And I have all these like little questions in between, and then I can't get them in. And then they seem kind of irrelevant after at the end of what she's saying. So
yeah, it felt very impassioned. Like she feels very passionate.
I was raised Roman Catholic, right? And she talks about fear and separation from where she is. And that to me is, I was raised Roman Catholic, that's talking about hell. And a lot of priests, bishops, I don't know if the Pope's come out and said it now, maybe he has, but there's no real hell. They just sort of invented that to scare people into coming to church, tithing their 10%. And they're sort of admitting it now. Like Jesus never really talked about it as a permanent place. But I think that's probably just my interpretation of what she was saying. It was probably much broader what she was talking about.
Yeah, but I think that's an interesting point that you bring forward, Joe, because I think that's what Spirit is talking about in this message today, is that based on your experience, that is your understanding. And somebody else who's going to watch this is going to interpret it or hear it in a different way. And how I'm going to absorb it when I go back and listen to it again is probably going to be, again, uniquely different. But I think that's the whole point, is that we need to allow that. We need to allow for that. And I don't need to be afraid that you interpreted it one way and right. I might interpret it another. And again, somebody else may have a completely different take on it. And I think that's what she's asking, is that instead of being afraid of it's not so much being afraid of what you're saying. It's afraid that you're not agreeing with me. It's okay for you to have those differences of viewpoints or perspectives or interpretations. And just because they're not completely in alignment doesn't mean that we're wrong or that we're bad. And we don't need to lose confidence. Like, I got it wrong because Joe thought it meant this. So I must be wrong. And therefore I need to believe what he believes because I don't feel safe or comfortable or confident in my own beliefs. So I think it's about, creating that sense of confidence in how we interpret life. Does that make any sense?
I think so. I found it a little bit conflicted what she was saying. She talked about sort of individuality and then said how you know you're on the right path or something like that is that validation. People will... And I thought she was talking about like when you use the term validation, it's different than like 3D validation. But then she sort of alluded to 3D validation. Am I making any sense? I'm using your phrase now.
Yeah, right.
I know you get what I'm saying, but is it making sense? Because we talk all the time about these concepts, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm actually getting a bit distracted. So let's see if instead of me sort of speaking to that, if somebody else would like to do that. She says, we are all seeking validation. For in validation, there is confidence. What you're lacking as you walk in the human experience is a lack of individual confidence. Because of this sense of insecurity, you look to others to agree, to validate your personal experience, because it feels lonely to be living it alone. It feels fearsome or fearful to be living it alone. This is why the encouragement to look inward, to find your faith and your trust in your experience inside of you, not needing the external validation of others, but to be confident and okay with who you are and how you are experiencing life from within. So I'm pausing for a second because this is a very different energy.
It's not Mary and it's not Myrtle.
No, I'm not sure who yet that this is, but it feels very different. I don't know if you can sense that in the way the message is coming forward. But for me, there's definitely a differential in this energy.
Remember, you said you were always going to try and identify them on the show.
Okay, you're putting me on the spot now.
That was the deal.
I like that. Yeah, you're keeping me on my toes. Always learning, always growing. It's good.
Who is it?
Okay, so let's see.
Who are you?
Who are you? Peter Paul. It's funny. I just heard Peter Paul and Mary. Isn't that actually like a rock band or like a folk trio?
A folk band, yeah.
A folk band. So he says the middle, Paul. Okay, so I feel as though this energy might be belonging to Paul of the biblical time or the biblical sense is how
right,
he puts
who I just watched the Netflix series on.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh my goodness. It's, you know what, after multiple years now, and I say this all the time, of doing this, I still get blown away. The number of synchronicities, the way we're being guided through this life, and all of the little clues and hints and guidance that is there is really unbelievable. Once you start to tap into it and recognize it, it is fascinating. So on one hand, I'm like completely shocked that now we're dealing with the energy of Paul and you just saw a show about him, but at the same time, yep. I'm totally not. Incredible. So let's see, did you have anything you wanted to say to Paul, or do we want to just see what he has to offer?
I mean, just a quick like bio, he was born, I think his name was Saul, and he changed it to Paul, and he became a follower of Jesus. And if you hear like Paul's letters to the blank, like letters to the Corinthians or whatever, that was him spreading the word via written letter.
Oh, okay.
He was a doubter and then became a believer, I think, kind of thing.
Okay. So he says, I too was a scribe. Okay, so just for some context in that, through my journey, as I've sort of been exploring what this connection is for me, what's been happening with my personal situation, a few times I've been referred to by others as a scribe. So the context of that was someone who is able to connect with, oh, it's so weird. I just heard the homeland. So we'll go with that. Or the realm of spirit, or that from whence we came is another way. I just heard it in my head. So a scribe is someone who is able to make that connection or use their abilities to fortify that connection I'm getting in order to receive guidance and information. And often they write it. So for me, we've talked about this, I think, before in season one, where a lot of the times when I'm receiving information, I write it. It used to be in journals. Now I just take it down on my phone because I usually have my phone near me. So that's what he is referring to as also being a scribe, which would also, I guess, make sense if he contributed to the writings of the Bible. Right, you're saying?
Yeah, yes.
New Testament, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so the fact that he receives information from the spiritual realm and he shares it through writing, okay? He says his beliefs changed very much as his connection developed and grew, and he was able to receive and resonate more and more with the information coming forward from the spiritual realm. So I think you might have mentioned just a moment ago that he maybe was a doubter and sort of stepped more into the role of a believer. But that's kind of how it comes across. Like he said, he just didn't know before. He just didn't know until, and it almost as if he's crediting Jesus for being the instigator of that connection. He says, he taught me, he gave me the tools. He's saying meditation. He's saying that Jesus taught him how to meditate. And it was through that calming of the mind or of his mind that he was able to start receiving the information from the divine realms. And this was the work that he tried to bring forward. Through the writing, he says, but what is so important to know is that even with the receiver of the information from the spiritual realm, it is still being offered to you through through the guise, does that make sense? Through the interpretation or the almost like personality or the experience of the receiver. So as I'm taking a moment to kind of think about that, for me, it almost feels like, you know, I'm not the only person who has this connection. There are many, many people in the world that have this connection. And we all, in fact, have the ability to some extent to form and grow and hone this connection if we so choose and if it's a part of our journey. But the information, when it comes through, will still be coming through the receiver. So to me, when he talks about the receiver in this case is me. So I'm getting this information from Paul and I'm sharing it, but it's coming through me as well. So I'm not sure of the best way to describe this. So it doesn't mean that
there's a Janet filter on it, even though you're trying not to put a filter on it at all. It's you're speaking English still. You're using most of the time words and phrases that you know and understand. So they're just siphoning it through you. It's can I ask a question to Paul?
Yes, please.
Did he ever meet Jesus? Because according to the show I watched, I don't know how accurate it is, he was more tasked with persecuting Christians. I don't think he ever physically met him. And so I just want to clarify for the viewer / listener, when he says it was a result of my relationship with Jesus or however he worded it, it may not be a physical relationship, right?
So as you're talking, that's sort of the sense that I'm getting. It's I heard through Jesus's teachings. So I'm not sure that there was ever actually like a physical or literal, like they sat down together and Jesus said, hey, this is how you meditate kind of thing. Or if it was that he had access to the information somehow, what would have been maybe referred to as Jesus's teachings at the time, or the information that Jesus brought forward. And that's what led him to discover that connection or his own personal connection.
So maybe through meditation, he was able to develop his relationship with Jesus.
Yes, but there is a sense that it was because of Jesus's influence that he even understood about the idea of meditation, that he even understood that there was a relationship to be had. And he just sort of stopped there.
Okay.
It feels like prior to Jesus's existence and his awareness of Jesus, that he wasn't perceiving life in that way from a spiritual perspective, or at least from a spiritual perspective that was in line with what Jesus brought forward. Okay. So it wasn't until after the influence of Jesus, whether that be through Jesus's teachings or the lessons he brought forward, that's when he began to discover his own innate connection with the realm of spirit. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Okay, good. Oh, and I'm getting that is all for now.
As always, another interesting and unpredictable episode of Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik. We had Mary Magdalene come forward. We had Paul come forward from Biblical Times. We talked a little bit about the pandemic and all kinds of things. Validation, independent thinking, independent feeling. I don't even know how to sum this show up.
I know, there's just too much. Like, we're going to have to, again, this is another one of those episodes where I myself, for sure, I'm going to have to watch and rewatch because there's a lot there. So I'm going to take just that quick second to say thank you so much for the spirit realm for showing up and providing us with this information. And I think that's a really key thing for me. And I think it really ties into this episode too, is the fact that, you know, this is information that I'm just receiving and sharing. And it's very, very important to me that whoever hear it, whoever chooses to engage with it, that they interpret it in their own way and however it speaks to them. It's not about me dictating or even spirit dictating. It's offering spirit's point of view. It's offering information to be considered. And I think that that's really important to me. I think that's something spirit touched on today, is being really important for everyone in all of our circumstances. There's information, receive it how it works for you, or how you see fit, or how it serves you.
I agree. And thank you, Janet, for channeling for us, or providing mediumship, whichever one it was at whichever time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remind the viewer / listener to rate, review, subscribe, and share this YouTube show / podcast with friends or family members who you think might like to hear this message or these messages. And be sure to visit janetkubik.com, sign up for her email list, and she will email you anytime something cool happens, like the release of another podcast.
Woohoo!
Thanks for listening. Bye, Janet.
Bye, Joe. Thanks so much.